But we left off with the Jews telling Pilate that Jesus ought to be killed, that he ought to die, because he claimed to be the Son of God. Pilate was already agitated and highly uncomfortable with this trial. And now that the Jews make mention that Jesus is, or Jesus claims to be the Son of God, the Bible says that Pilate is the more afraid. Let's read John chapter 19 and verse 8. When Pilate therefore heard, verse 7, the Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. And he went again into the judgment hall and saith to Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee?" Now this is the text right here. This is the important part of today's sermon. "Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." Now I fully anticipated and fully expected to preach most of today's sermon out of verse number 11. That was my intention from early on in the week. That was my intention, to preach most of this sermon out of verse number 11. But I got into verse number 10, and I could go no further. I want to look at this statement by Pilate when he threatens Jesus and says, "Don't you know I have the power, or I have the authority to either crucify you or to release you?" Okay? Now, again, Pilate is afraid. The Jews said he claims to be the Son of God, and that has made Pilate more afraid than he has been up to this point. Is Jesus a God? This is what Pilate's thinking. Is Jesus a God? Or is he the son of a God? Because this changes everything. This literally changes everything. Pilate will no doubt have a very good reason to let Jesus go and to set him free if he thinks that Jesus is either a God or the son of a God. Now, understand, I say a God or the son of a God because this would be the way that Pilate would think. Okay? Pilate doesn't know or understand that there is one true living God. As far as Pilate's concerned, and the Romans are concerned, and all those in the Roman Empire are concerned, there are many gods, okay? And the Romans and all of those in the Roman Empire, they have great respect for their gods, plural, small g, plural, their gods. And now, as far as other kings, that doesn't scare Rome. They're expanding their empire. They take down kings. But as far as gods, they respect the gods. Again, they don't know there's one true God. And so when the Jews say to Pilate, he claims to be the Son of God, now Pilate is petrified. He's the much more afraid. Because if Jesus is a God or the son of a God, this changes the whole scenario. And Pilate's going to have a really good reason to let Jesus go free. Because Pilate doesn't want to crucify a God or the son of a God. And so Pilate asked Jesus, "Whence art thou?" In other words, are you from above? Are you from the heavens? Are you the master of the universe? Are you a God from the stars? Who are you? Where are you from? And Jesus refuses to answer. Because if Jesus answers truthfully, Pilate's no doubt going to release him. And the plan and the decree of God would be thwarted. If Jesus answers Pilate truthfully, and if Jesus says, yes, I am God, I am the Son of the Most High, I am the Son of the Blessed, then Pilate is going to release him. Okay? And Jesus being released is not in the plan of God. It's not in the decree of God. Brother and sister, understand this. Everything in the life of Jesus, everything that he does, everything that he does not do, everything that he says, everything that he does not say in this case, is all by divine plan. I concluded the sermon last week by reminding you that the wise preacher said in the book of Ecclesiastes, there is a time to keep silence and a time to speak. And Jesus chooses in his great wisdom and in his perfect knowledge, Jesus chooses to not speak. Again, because if Jesus said, yes, I'm God, or I'm the Son of God, Pilate would have released him out of fear. The Jews would have in turn stoned Jesus. And the entire decree of God would have been thwarted. And we know that no will of man thwarts the will of God. Okay? God's will always be accomplished. So, Pilate calls Jesus back in and asks him, whence art thou? Where are you from? And Jesus doesn't answer. And Pilate's not happy that Jesus is refusing to answer. And he reminds Jesus who he is. And what power he has and what authority he has. And Pilate reminds Jesus what he can do. This verse number 10 of John chapter 19 is a proud, arrogant attitude of a man in power. The proud, arrogant attitude of a politician. Do you know who I am? Do you know what I have the power and authority to do? Do you realize that your life is in my hands? Pilate was no doubt used to seeing prisoners cower and cringe in front of him, willing to do what anything, really, to please Pilate, willing to say anything to please Pilate, just speaking very carefully in hopes that they would be set free. And that's what Pilate's used to. Pilate's used to men cringing and cowering and bowing in front of him, pleading for release, pleading for mercy, pleading for reprieve. And he could not understand why this prisoner did not act and respond in the way that others did. He could not understand why Jesus wasn't trying hard to be released and why he wasn't being compliant. What Pilate does not realize is that with this statement, and this is where I got jammed up here. Again, I planned on going to verse number 11, but I came to this, and I realized that this statement that Pilate makes, when he says, speakest thou not unto me, knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and power to release thee? With this statement, Pilate has just condemned himself. He's just condemned himself. Even though he claims to not share any blame, Pilate claims to be innocent of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 27 and verse number 24, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water, and he washed his hands before the multitude, saying, now here's what Pilate said. Someone held a bowl of a basin of water up, and Pilate, in front of this great multitude, he dipped his hands in that basin of water, and he ceremonially washed his hands as a way of saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just or righteous or innocent person. See to it. And so Pilate, in Matthew 27:24, washes his hands, a ceremonial washing of his hands, to declare his own innocence in the death of a just man, in the death of an innocent man. And yet, in John 19:10, he condemns himself. Because he says, I have the authority to release you. I have the power to release you. Or I have the authority and the power to kill you, to crucify you. That is my decision to be made. That is my power. That is my authority. And yet we see in Matthew 27:24 that he washes his hands saying, I'm innocent. I'm innocent of the blood of this just man. No, he's not. He just confesses and, in the same breath, condemns himself. No amount of ceremonial hand washing, no amount of justifying, no amount of declaring his innocence, no amount of declaring his ignorance is going to make Pilate any less guilty. He condemns himself in verse number 10 of John 19. Of course, Pilate is not the only one guilty in Christ's death. Do you see what I'm saying, brother and sister? Before I move on, do you see what I'm saying? Through this whole thing, Pilate has been disturbed. He's been agitated. He knows Jesus is innocent. He knows Jesus is just. He knows Jesus is not guilty. He knows that the Jews are doing this out of envy. He understands this. He's interrogated Jesus. He's investigated Jesus. Okay, he's interviewed Jesus. He knows Jesus has done nothing wrong. He does not want to kill him. He does not want to crucify him. He wants to let him free. He tried over and over and over and over again to let Jesus free. And then he washes his hands and says, I'm innocent. And yet in verse number 10, he says, I have the power and I have the authority to release you. Pilate is not innocent. He is guilty of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's not the only one that's guilty of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jews are also very guilty. They pushed and they pressed until they got what they wanted, to kill Jesus. So Pilate is very guilty, even though he washed his hands. The Jews are very guilty, even though they are God's chosen nation, God's chosen people. They are very guilty. Acts 3:13-15, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Pilate is very much to blame. He condemns himself in verse number 10. Even though he washes his hands, he condemns himself with his own mouth. He condemns himself with his own words. the Jews are also very, very guilty of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. They pressed and they forced Pilate's hand, and they cried, "Crucify him, crucify him." They said, "His blood be upon our heads and upon the heads of our children." Okay? The Jews are just as guilty as Pilate. But the blame does not stop there either. Because ultimately it was my sin, and ultimately it was your sin that is responsible for the death of Jesus on a Roman cross. Ultimately, it was my sins and your sins. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." Christ died for our sins. Ultimately, my friend, you and I are guilty of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Pilate condemns himself in verse number 10, even though he washed his hands and pretended to be innocent. He condemns himself because he had the power to release Jesus. The Jews are guilty. Okay, they pressed and pressed and pressed this thing until they got what they wanted, and that was to kill Jesus. But you and I are guilty. It was our sins, it was my sins and your sins that Christ died for. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed, for ye are as sheep gone astray, but now are returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls." He himself bare our sins in his own body on the tree. He was crucified for my sins and for yours. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18. "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins." Christ suffered for sins. "The just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." He didn't suffer for his own sins. He was innocent. He was perfect. He was guiltless. But he died for our sins, for our guilt. He took our punishment. So as we sit here this morning and we contemplate the wickedness and guilt and culpability of both Pilate and the Jews, let us all remember that the guilt and blame really, when it boils down to it, rest upon us as sinners, as rebellious creatures, disobeying the commands of our Creator, disobeying the commands of our Lord. It is you and I that is to blame for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the guilty ones. We are the rebellious ones. It was for our envy and petty jealousy that Jesus Christ died on the cross. It was for our envy and petty jealousy that he died on the cross. It was for our unjustified anger and hatred toward other people that he hung on that old rugged cross. It was for our disgusting lust and covetousness and greed that he died on the cross of Calvary. It was for our filthy mouths and our wicked imaginations and our nasty thoughts that he died on the cruel cross of Calvary. It was for our stealing and our lying that he died on the cross. It was for our unjustified and hate-filled killing and murder that he died upon the cross. It was for our refusal to do what we knew we should do. It was our refusal to do what was good and right that he died on the cross. And one day we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're told this several times in the scriptures. One day every person under the sound of my voice, and everyone that is not under the sound of my voice, every person that has ever lived and died, will one day stand before the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ to answer the things done in their body, whether good or bad. And no amount of justifying our actions, no amount of pleading ignorance, and no amount, like Pilate, no amount of declaring innocence is going to get us off the hook. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 12. I saw the dead, small and great. The dead, small and great. In other words, from the most powerful king and potentate to the lowest of beggars. I saw the dead, both small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The books that have to do with your life will be opened. Yes, my friend, God has books of your life. The psalmist says that God puts his tears in a bottle, and he says, are they not in the book? God has our deeds, our thoughts, our speech. He has it all, everything about us, in books. And those books will be opened, and we will be judged out of those books. The things that you did that you should not have done, the things that you did not do that you should have done, the awful words that you said, the evil thoughts of your imaginations, the secrets that you keep are all in God's books. The Bible says that every idle word that men shall speak, they'll give an account of in the day of judgment. Every idle word that men shall speak, they'll give an account of in the day of judgment. The Bible says that God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. My friends, yes, Pilate tried to wash his hands and say he's innocent, but he condemned himself with his own words when he said, I can let you go. Yes, the Jews are as guilty as any man is ever guilty of killing the innocent, holy, and harmless Lamb of God. They're guilty. But you and I, friend, are just as guilty for all of our wickedness, all of our sins, all of our evil deeds, all of our nasty thoughts, all of our terrible words, all of the things we should have done that we did not do, every time that we knew to do good and we did it not, it was sin. All of those things are in the books. And one day we will stand before our God, our Lord, our Creator, and He will open the books and we will be judged out of those books. And the evidence against us is going to be overwhelming, just like it is for Pilate. Your own words will condemn you. Your own words will condemn you. Your own actions will condemn you. Your own evil thoughts will condemn you. Your secrets that nobody knows will condemn you. Your idle words will condemn you. Your hate, your jealousy, your envy, your lust, your covetousness, your bitterness, your anger, it will all condemn you. Pilate thought that he could wash his hands with water in the presence of the multitude. He thought that he could absolve himself of the guilt of killing an innocent man. The only thing that can absolve us of our sin, the only thing that can bring about forgiveness, the only thing that can take away our guilt is to be washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not dipping our hands in some water and declaring our innocence. But the only thing that can make us guilt-free and innocent, the only thing that can make us forgiven and the record wiped clean, the only thing is to be washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Zechariah prophesied, I think it's Zechariah 13:1, if I'm not mistaken, but Zechariah prophesied of a fountain that would be opened up for sin and uncleanness. I believe it's 13:1. You can go look it up. But Zechariah prophesied, and he said, there's going to be a fountain opened up. There's going to be a fountain opened up for sin and for uncleanness. And my friends, that fountain that is opened up was the pouring forth of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to wash us from our guilt, our sin, from our wickedness. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from evil, from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But it says in verse number 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings upon the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Pilate knew that he needed to be washed, but silly him, he thought a little basin of water and dipping his hands in the water would clear him of guilt, would make him innocent of the blood of the just Jesus Christ. No, Pilate was just as guilty before he dipped his hands as after he dipped his hands. If you want to be free of all your guilt and sin, if you want the record to be expunged, if you want the slate to be wiped clean, then it must be done through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must be washed in the blood. Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 9, they sang a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 18 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We can only be washed in the blood, meaning the death of the Lord Jesus Christ for the mercy and forgiveness of sinners. Being washed in the blood, meaning Christ died in the place of guilty sinners. He shed his blood in the place of guilty sinners. And those who believe upon him, those who trust him, those who call out to him for forgiveness, their sins can be washed clean. Their guilt can be washed away. They can be made white as snow by the death and the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way to remove your guilt. There is no other way to receive forgiveness. There is no other way to be reconciled to God. Only through the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ that was shed almost 2,000 years ago. My friend, listen to me closely. I'm almost done. If you are trusting in your baptism for forgiveness of sins and for home in heaven, you are wrong. If you are trusting in your church attendance, if you think that attending church forgives you, gives you the mercy of God, and gives you a home in heaven, you are wrong. If you are trusting in your good deeds, if you are trusting in your religious duties, if you are trusting in your Christian upbringing, if you are trusting in a prayer that you repeated and mimicked and parroted from someone else's lips, if you are trusting in your own perceived morality, you, my friend, are still in your sin. You are still in your sin. You are still under guilt. You are still under condemnation. And you are still on your way to hell. The way to forgiveness, the way to have sins forgiven, is not baptism. It is not church attendance. It is not good deeds. It is not religious duties. It is not Christian upbringing. It is not repeated prayers. It is not a perceived morality. But it is trusting in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross in his shed blood. My friends, if you are trusting in those other things, you are no different from Pilate. You are guilty, and yet you are washing your hands thinking that absolves you from guilt. Your baptism does not absolve you from guilt. Your church attendance does not absolve you from guilt. Your good deeds and morality does not absolve you from guilt. Your church attendance does not absolve you from guilt. Only putting your faith and your trust and your belief in Jesus Christ, God's Son, and the fact that he died on a cross for sinners, that's what absolves you of your guilt, your sin. Come to Jesus, and come to him alone. He died for sinners, the just for the unjust. Listen, if being dipped in water through baptism, or dipping your hands in water, or sprinkling water on your head absolved you from your sins, why did Jesus have to die? If you just attending church or praying some prayers absolves you of your sins, why did Jesus have to die? If you just trying to be a good person and doing the best you can, doing good deeds, if that absolves you of your sin, then why did Jesus have to die? He had to die because those things do not absolve us from sin. Only trusting in him, and his death, and his shed blood absolves us from sin. Call upon him today for mercy and forgiveness. He alone can save. He alone can save. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, shall be saved. Would you call upon him today? Would you fall upon your knees, fall upon your face, and cry out to Jesus for forgiveness? Seek his face for mercy. Realize that he died. He died. A just man. An innocent man, he died for your sins. And trust him and him alone, not yourself. Would you do that today, my friend? Would you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Pilate dipped his hand in a bowl of water and he declared, "I'm innocent." And yet by his own words, he proves that he is guilty. He could have let Jesus free. He could have let him go. He had the power. And yet he's trying to declare his innocence. Those Jews, they thought they were right. They thought that they were innocent. They said, if there's any condemnation, let it be upon our heads and our children's heads. And yet they were very guilty. And so are you, unless you turn to Jesus Christ. God, I pray through your Spirit that this message today would be effectual in the saving of sinners. Holy Spirit, please, please bring great conviction upon the man, woman, young man or young woman who is still in their sins. God bless the preaching of your word. And now bless your people. Thank you for their faithfulness to tune in and watch. And I pray that you would give them a wonderful, relaxing, restful Lord's Day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, my friend, for joining us today. If this is a video that you think that you would like to share with family and friends, I encourage you to do so. God willing, we'll see you next week.